BZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. The Israel-Iran war rages for a sixth day, neither side backing down. Israel pounding scientific sites in Iran, Iran lobbing missiles into Israel, most deflected. And this morning, a warning. Iran saying any American intervention would be a recipe for an all-out war in the region. ABC's Perry Russum says Israel needs and wants U.S. help.
Israel's campaign against Iran's nuclear program may hinge on a weapon it does not have, the U.S.'s Bunker Buster bomb. Only the 30,000-pound Bunker Buster could penetrate Iran's Fordo facility, a nuclear site deep inside a mountain about 90 miles south of Tehran.
Ukraine says Russian missiles and drones today killed at least 15 of its people. Ahead today, the Fed meets on interest rates to hold the line, probably. The new Stanley Cup champions.
The Florida Panthers are back-to-back Stanley Cup champions.
From WQAM, two in a row for Florida over the Oilers. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Carrie Bradshaw, a.k.a. Sarah Jessica Parker, recently spoke to Huffington Post UK. During the interview, she talked about the backlash she received for playing Bradshaw on HBO's Sex and the City. Parker discussed the double standard between men and women and how women are treated differently when they're portrayed as cheaters on TV. Parker made a point to say that her character on And Just Like That is judged similarly decades later. New episodes of And Just Like That premiere Thursdays on Max. For those of you who are like me and live in a remote area, there is good news regarding a new comedy to check out. Friendship is now available to stream, according to the New York Post. The A24 cringe comedy that asks the question, should men have friends, stars Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd and had a modest but successful limited theatrical run. Friendship is available to stream on Amazon Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A win for OKC. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball, the Thunder beat the Pacers 120-109 to take a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals. Indiana's Tyrese Halliburton re-injuring that right ankle and calf muscle in the first quarter ended up with only 4 points in 34 minutes of play. The Thunder's Jalen Williams with a career-high 40 points in the postseason asked, was that the game plan or are shots just dropping in for him?
Probably a little bit of both. I won't give too much into the game plan, but a lot of it is just me being aggressive, seeing what's open and taking those shots.
Game 6 is Thursday night in Indy. Baseball, the Brewers face the first-place Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. Chicago with a 5.5-game lead in the NL Central. Ahead of the crew, pitcher Colin Ray on the kind of standard manager Craig Counsell has set in the Cubs clubhouse this year.
Yeah, I think he just has the expectations of us doing the little things right, coming in every single day, giving your best effort, holding each other accountable for those things when you step through those doors every single day.
That's Cubs pitcher Colin Ray with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
There's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Who wins in war? Billionaires do. We discuss one such billionaire's efforts to buy Wisconsin elections and the lawsuit to stop them with Jeff Mandel and Scott Thompson of Law Forward.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds and patchy fog overnight and a few showers out there as well. Morning low temperatures dropping into the mid-50s. On Wednesday, more shower chances, clouds, some fog. High temperatures in the afternoon warming to the upper 70s. It's 53 at our studios.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley will join us. More stories coming out after the fall of Roe versus Wade. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Boy, it was a beautiful day in Waupaca County yesterday to be introduced to the host family for Wisconsin Farm Technology Days 2025. Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the air. This is the Midwest Farm Report. The Clinton Farm families are ready to welcome you to their Bear Creek location. Beautiful 50-cow rotary parlor that they'll be showing off. And maybe as importantly, a commitment to that community, a commitment to the industry that runs four generations. And three of the four are going to be hosting you coming up on August 3rd, make that August 5th through the 7th. A little bit more on that story as the morning unfolds. The weather today, definitely different than what we enjoyed yesterday in Bear Creek. Today, rain everywhere and a good chance of thunderstorms, probably redeveloping this afternoon. Daytime highs today, a little bit cooler than yesterday. Highs right around 72. And again, rainfall amounts are going to be measurable, so you rainfall reporters, get ready. The talk text line is open if you've got something to share. That's 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. Now, Stu Mock will be along with weather details, but what I can tell you is today and tonight, showers and thunderstorms in measurable amounts. Tomorrow, sunshine and 83. On Friday, looking for about another 20% chance of showers in the day, and otherwise a sunny Friday. Highs near 85. For those of you with weekend celebrations, Saturday is going to be a hot one to manage through. They're talking Saturday's highs around 92.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Now that lawns have come back to life and yard work is well underway, many homeowners are focused on keeping their grass looking its best. But before you get too deep into mowing and maintenance, it's worth checking in with one of Wisconsin's top turf specialists. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Doug Soldat, UW Extension Turf Specialist, offers timely tips to help your lawn stay healthy through the summer and into fall. And it all starts with one simple step that you might be overlooking.
Yeah, the most important thing by far is to get your mower in shape. So change that blade or take it off, get it sharpened, because that's probably the most important thing for lawn quality is to cut your grass with a sharp blade. It's a stress, it's damaging, and if your blade is dull, it tears the leaf, and that can reduce the growth. You can get weeds coming in, so number one thing is get that mower blade sharpened.
How often do you have to replace the blades then? I guess that'd be the follow-up there.
Yeah, it depends on how much you're mowing, like how many sticks and rocks you're running into. I'd say at the very minimum, you do it once a year. But if you are in an environment, you're mowing a lot of acres, and you're running over sticks and you're hitting rocks occasionally, it should be probably several times a year, but at least at the very minimum, do it once a year.
And so then how do these strategies change from the springtime into the fall even?
Yeah, there's a calendar of lawn maintenance that kind of flows and follows. And sometimes it's a little bit backwards. Like right now, everybody's excited. Get out there, work on the lawn, get in the garden, get some sunshine. And they put the seeds down on the thin area. The best time to actually seed bare and thin areas is in the fall when there's less competition for weeds and other things like that. So spring, it's a good time to think about like preventing crabgrass. Crabgrass is a really bad weed that will start to germinate when the soil temperatures get into the 60s, 70s. The, you know, getting your mowing height right, getting your mower blades sharpened is always good for spring. Summer, we like to kind of back off a little bit on the fertilizer because the soils release a lot of nitrogen during the summer. So, but you don't need to be putting down a lot of fertilizer mid-summer. Irrigation kind of depends on what your needs are in summer and kind of what the weather's like. And then, like I said, when we get into fall, that's a really good time for weed control, broadleaf weeds like dandelions, ground ivy, creeping Charlie. That's good to control around the first frost, and then get some good fall fertilizer down around Labor Day to prepare the grass to go into winter.
When it comes to selecting that grass seed that you were talking about, especially in Wisconsin, what are some of the factors that homeowners should be looking for or considering?
Yeah, grass seed is, that's probably one of the most important things you can do is buy good grass seed. And it takes a little bit of looking at the labels and understanding what you're buying, because the marketing stuff on the front of the bags, like Sunny Spot, Shady's Place, that's okay, but you really want to look at the labels. The best grass varieties and species for Wisconsin are Kentucky Bluegrass and Fine Fescue. And Fine Fescue, there's actually a collection of them. Red Fescue, Hard Fescue, Chewings Fescue, Sheep Fescue. They're all about the same and pretty good. And when I'm buying a grass seed mixture, I'm looking for a combination of Kentucky Bluegrass and those Fine Fescues. I'm trying to minimize all annual ryegrass. I don't want any annual ryegrass at all. It's hard to find mixtures without perennial ryegrass. I like to keep perennial ryegrass as low as possible. And another grass that is interesting is called Tall Fescue. It's not closely related to the Fine Fescues. And if you want to plant Tall Fescue, it's low maintenance grass. It's pretty traffic tolerant. But the problem is, like, when you seed it, you want to seed like 80, 90% Tall Fescue. You don't want to look at a bag of seed and see Tall Fescue 10, 20% because it's going to look really clumpy and weedy. So, you know, for my money, it's going to be Kentucky Bluegrass and Fine Fescues for your seed.
So what is the ideal? How frequently should you mow? When do you start? Or what's the height that it should be? Kind of take us through what we should be doing.
Yeah. I like to tell people mow as high as you can tolerate. A lot of the new mowers get up, you know, maybe up to 4 inches now. I personally mow my lawn right about 3 inches. I think that's a good height. 2.5 inches is okay. You start getting down into the 2-inch range and you're probably getting shallower roots and you might see more weed and stress pressure. So 2.5 to 3.5 inches is a really good spot to be. By not mowing your lawn and allowing those weed flowers to bloom, you might be doing some benefit, but you're also going to create a lot of stress on your lawn when you go back, mow it all back down. Well, I think one thing that I think is a really good reminder is the 1/3 rule for mowing, which says don't remove more than 1/3 of the tissue at a time, which can be challenging if you're away on vacation or something and you neglected the lawn. But if you mow frequently, so let's, you know, if you're mowing your lawn at 2 inches, you want to mow it by the time it gets up to 3. Don't let it get up to 4 or you're going to start to see some damages to your lawn. So mow frequently enough where you're cutting off only about 1/3 of the tissue at any one time.
How much water does a lawn actually need during the summer? I know there's some hot days and some people will be watering, obviously depending on how much rain Mother Nature decides to provide us. But is there a set amount that we should be aiming for?
Yeah, so watering, if you have an irrigation system with a controller on it, an automatic, you know, programmed thing, the best advice I can give you is turn that off and just turn it on manually. The reason for that is if you have it running, let's say like Monday, Wednesday, Friday overnight, chances are you're way over watering your lawn and you get shallow roots and you get a lot of disease coming in. So Wisconsin, like you mentioned, it can be really wet, it can be super dry. And so you want your irrigation to respond to those conditions. The general recommendation is like during a drought, about 1 inch a week, and then you can subtract off the rainfall from that amount. So if we go a week, it's rained about 1/2 inch, you might only need to put down 1/2 inch to bring it back up. The fact is that most lawns in Wisconsin don't need water to survive. They do need water to stay green. And so that's a personal preference. If you're going to have a party on the lawn, keep it green. But, you know, if not, it's just less mowing.
I know some lawns, you know, they might be a little patchy or there's some thinner areas compared to others. Do you have tips on best practices to kind of repair those areas?
Yeah, absolutely. I take maybe a 5-gallon bucket with some topsoil, and then you take like a little shovel or something to disturb the patch, get all the brown stuff out, loosen up some soil. And then I take, you know, a handful of seed. You're looking at like maybe 10 seeds per square inch. So you don't want to like coat it in seed, but rake it up, throw some topsoil down, 10, you know, eyeball 10 seeds per square inch, rake it in again, put a little bit more topsoil down on it, step on it with your foot to get some good seed to soil contact. And if it's small enough, you don't really need to put any straw or anything else down on it. If it's a larger patch, I'd put some straw on it to protect it from erosion from the rainfall. Do that and it should be good. Again, choose the right variety of seed to make sure that you get the results you want.
Are you seeing anything or hearing reports on any specific pests or issues with turf management? I know it's still a little early in the season yet, but is there anything trending, even non-pest related, but just in general that you're keeping an eye on that we should be?
Yeah, well, the one thing I've heard this year, it's a little bit different than last year, is that there seems to be a lot of like dead grass underneath trees, which is a little bit unusual. And I think what we're thinking on that is, if you remember, into last fall is really dry in Wisconsin, like for the whole month of August into September. And I think the drought stressed grass then went into winter. We had kind of a harsh winter, some cold temperatures with not a lot of snow cover in many parts of the state. And I think you're actually seeing some winter kill under those trees, where the moisture was even drier because of the trees competing for water. So we are getting reports of more dead grass. Again, the kind of the establishment techniques that we already talked about will work great under those trees. And Chewing's fine fescue is by far the best grass to plant under in tree shade.
Once again, that's Doug Soldat, UW Extension turf specialist, along with us. Like he said, a lush green lawn doesn't happen by accident. It takes a bit of planning, the right tools, and good timing. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Here's a community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North. The Hayward Community Food Shelf is available for you each first Saturday of the month. Located at the Hayward Community Food Shelf at 16216 U.S. Highway 63 in Hayward. Again, the food shelf is available the first Saturday of the month from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. Another community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
Break yourself free from that desk and come work for Civic Media, a rapidly growing network which has positions open in Park Falls, Hayward, and Amory, Wisconsin that focus on prospecting and new account acquisitions. The ideal candidate will have prior media advertising sales experience and success, reliable transportation, and a connection to the communities in which they would sell. This position pays a base salary plus generous commissions and exceptional additional benefits. To see a full description, go to civicmedia.us and look at careers. Apply at civicmedia.us or send your resume directly to darla.isham@civicmedia.us. Civic Media is an equal opportunity employer that is committed to diversity and inclusion in the workplace.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the writer and producer from Bridge to Terabithia, David Patterson. Then we discuss men's mental health with DeLorean Walls from Brothers to Brothers. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Glorious day yesterday in Bear Creek in Wapakoneta County for Media Day. at Clinton Farms. They had a tent, which was nice, but the sun wasn't too bad when we were there yesterday morning. The sun is going to get to be an issue. We've got June Dairy events coming up this weekend. Columbia County Moo Day Brunch on Saturday at Jazzy Jerseys in Lodi. I've been saying, if you want to be comfortable on a day when we're going to be in the 90s, go by the cows. We spend a lot of time, money, and energy keeping those cows comfortable, and you're going to notice it if you go to those dairy events. Sunday, Fond du Lac County's got their June Dairy Celebration, too.
Right. Fond du Lac County is this Sunday up in Van Dyne, and Sheboygan County is the Double Dutch Dairy on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Well, then we've got more reason to pay attention than you might have thought. But the bottom line is, this is going to be a dangerous situation, and you're already calling for rainfall reporters to be ready, huh?
Yeah, we've got some rain. I've got some rain this morning, believe it or not. I see Milwaukee had 28 hundredths of an inch. Racine reporting 82 hundredths of an inch. That's last night and early this morning. Some of that activity just pulling away from southeast Wisconsin and eastern Wisconsin, heading out over Lake Michigan. And then there's scattered light rain all the way up from the northern parts of the Fox Valley into west central Wisconsin, far southwest Wisconsin. None of it all that heavy this morning, but there is some rain around, no doubt there. Situation, at least for a time this morning, there could be a scattered shower or storm again later today or into the nighttime, and that has to do with a frontal boundary and low pressure system just off to our south. The lowest toward southeast Wisconsin by later today, keeping some of that rain chance in the picture. Otherwise, I expect still a pretty cool day. Today may be the coolest day of the week, if you think it's that way. I mean, we're still talking 70s, maybe just a very upper 60 in far northern Wisconsin, but that's compared to those 80s we saw yesterday. It's still going to be kind of sticky, still kind of moist with that rain chance around and the humidity level that's on the higher side. Another system edges in. More of that rain chance redeveloping in some parts of southern Wisconsin and even in the west by later tomorrow afternoon or evening. Later Friday into Friday evening, another chance for some showers and storms. Not a great deal of rain toward later in the week, later Thursday or later Friday, but there'll be more chances that we get some precipitation around. Those temperatures start warming up on through Thursday and Friday. And by the weekend, that's where we start talking about 80s and 90s. Yes, southern Wisconsin in the 90s this weekend with sunshine. A little good breeze around Saturday may help somewhat, but it's going to be very summery as those 90s really settle in and are indeed going to be what we deal with right through the weekend. A little cooler and, again, some rain chances popping up once we get next week underway. So enjoy the drier but hot weather for the weekend. I'll have forecast details after this.
Family reunions, anniversaries, neighborhood get-togethers, whatever event you're planning, incorporate a little Bavaria sausage flavor in your event. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, I wouldn't steer you wrong. I'll tell you what, Bavaria sausage can give you just what you're looking for when it comes to impressing your guests with fantastic flavor and old world recipes. And things are always changing at Bavaria Sausage, so you want to check back often. Their website's fantastic, BavariaSausage.com, making it easy for you to get the products you're looking for. Or better yet, visit face-to-face in the store, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg. Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. No matter what your celebration is, Scott and the crew will work towards making sure it's a success. Looking for something special or maybe bigger volumes? That's where you want to contact Scott and Lisa and let them know what you're looking for. BavariaSausage.com. You stop by, they'll make the difference. All righty, Stu, let's have this forecast. It's getting tricky.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of moving parts here. Our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update is for some rain, especially in central and southern Wisconsin this morning. Could be some redevelopment again later in the afternoon, more showers or even thunderstorms. More clouds in store today. Very upper 60s in the north to the low and mid 70s south, and southerly winds in the south about 5. They become more north and northeast here later in the day. That rain chance still lingers into the nighttime with clouds, some clearing later in the nighttime. and we drop into the upper 50s, very low 60s. Southern Wisconsin could pick up another quarter to half inch of rain. Further north, almost nothing to be seen yet today or tonight. Very light precipitation. More sunshine on Thursday and fairly warm, upper 70s and low 80s. A slight rain chance west and north late, and Friday, some sunshine, but again, that chance of a shower or a storm later in the day toward evening. But here, Pam, we start heading up into the low and mid 80s, and then by Saturday and Sunday, 80s in the north, low 90s south.
We're getting an update. David in Burlington, about 6/10 of an inch. Rick in Kenosha, 6/10. Then we had our buddies in Belgium, about 2/10 of an inch rain. So the rainfall reporter is already on the task, Stu.
Yeah, and we have a little to get, I guess.
All right. Okay. Catch you tomorrow. Thanks, buddy.
See ya.
Stu Miker, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial, your financial partner, committed to agriculture in rural America. Find out more online, compeer.com.
This is the Midwest Farm.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. Here's a portion of a conversation recently had on the John and Gordy Show with writer Mike McCabe about the history of milk strikes in Wisconsin.
You know, a lot of people don't know about the milk strikes of 1933.
I did not know.
Something that is on very many people's radar, but...
Well, tell us about it.
Yeah, and the area I'm talking about where all this started, where the milk strikes were born, is today the reddest of red areas in our country. It is a MAGA Republican stronghold today.
Yeah.
And in the late 1920s and early 1930s, this was a hotbed of progressivism.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. And farmers had had it. They weren't getting fair prices. And so they just decided, doggone it, we're going to organize. And in Abbotsford, Wisconsin, which is not far from where our farm was as I was growing up, not far from where the town where my novel is set is at, farmers came together, hundreds of farmers came together to start to organize to withhold their milk. And then not too long after that, 5,000 farmers showed up in nearby Marshfield to continue the organizing campaign. And eventually over 100,000 farmers in Wisconsin had joined the milk strike. They were dumping milk at the roadside and on railroad tracks. And they were blocking, shipment of milk to creameries, to places where it was bottled or made into cheese. They even were blowing up some cheese factories and creameries with dynamite. Wow. They were obstructing the roads, erecting blockades to prevent trucks from getting milk products to Madison and Milwaukee.
Wow.
They just decided we're going to shut everything down. There's not going to be milk or any milk products anywhere in the state of Wisconsin. This eventually spread to other dairy states across the country. And this strike got even bigger until it led to massive reform of milk pricing in what became the very first farm bill ever enacted by Congress.
Find out more about the John and Gordy Show and our entire lineup at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. The Israel-Iran war rages for a sixth day, neither side backing down. Israel pounding scientific sites in Iran, Iran lobbing missiles into Israel, most deflected. And this morning, a warning. Iran saying any American intervention would be a recipe for an all-out war in the region. ABC's Perry Russum says Israel needs and wants U.S. help.
Israel's campaign against Iran's nuclear program may hinge on a weapon it does not have, the U.S.'s Bunker Buster bomb. Only the 30,000-pound Bunker Buster could penetrate Iran's Fordow facility, a nuclear site deep inside a mountain about 90 miles south of Tehran.
Ukraine says Russian missiles and drones today killed at least 15 of its people. Ahead today, the Fed meets on interest rates to hold the line, probably. The new Stanley Cup champions.
The Florida Panthers are back-to-back Stanley Cup champions.
From WQAM, two in a row for Florida over the Oilers. This is ABC News.
A win for OKC. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball, the Thunder beat the Pacers 120-109 to take a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals. Indiana's Tyrese Halliburton re-injuring that right ankle and calf muscle in the first quarter ended up with only 4 points in 34 minutes of play. The Thunder's Jalen Williams with a career-high 40 points in the postseason asked, was that the game plan or are shots just dropping in for him?
Probably a little bit of both. I don't want to give too much into the game plan, but a lot of it is just me being aggressive, seeing what's open. And taking those shots.
Game 6 is Thursday night in Indy. Baseball, the Brewers face the first-place Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. Chicago with a 5.5-game lead in the NL Central. Ahead of the crew, pitcher Colin Ray on the kind of standard manager Craig Counsell has set in the Cubs clubhouse this year.
Yeah, I think he just has the expectations of us doing the little things right, coming in every single day, giving your best effort, holding each other accountable for those things when you step through those doors every single day.
That's Cubs pitcher Colin Ray with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, along with Trigby Olson, senior advisor at Lincoln Project, will be here to discuss the state happenings, national happenings, and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds and patchy fog overnight and a few showers out there as well. Morning low temperatures dropping into the mid-50s. On Wednesday, more shower chances, clouds, some fog. High temperatures in the afternoon warming to the upper 70s. Right now, it's 51.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on Civic Media Radio. We now take you to a recent Darren Von Ruden appearance on Matinee on Air.
We did want to start off with this, and this is from Lucas Hunt, a Civic Media news reporter.
Nice.
On our Civic Media website, U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden made an appearance at a cheese plant last Thursday where he voiced support for the Trump administration tariffs. I'm just wondering if you happen to be in that audience, Darren, is it, or did folks you know talk about this?
No, I was not present for that event, but I have heard a few different comments from some of the individuals that were either there or seen press releases of it.
And what have you heard from folks?
Well, not necessarily happy. The tariffs are something that's really turned this country around and not necessarily in a good way. Yes, short-term gain, but I think there's going to be a lot of long-term effects from it that are not going to be on the positive side. So how do we, go about doing our business when we're not sure if we're going to have a market 6 weeks or 2 years from now?
And I'm sure that Derek Van Orden had all kinds of specifics about what he's going to do. Oh, wait, no, that's probably not what happened.
Yeah, it seems pretty vague, and certainly looking at this big, beautiful bill that's being talked about in D.C. right now, he said that he's going to protect the nutrition title of the farm bill to the last extent, which means that he should be voting no on that bill. He voted yes on it because there's $230 billion that's going to be cut from it over the next 10 years. So how is that helping the people that are in most need, which at one point in time in his life he was one of those people.
That's something he was, you know, we have on video and we played it on various shows, and he not only made a very, very impassioned argument for protecting specifically snap. He was talking about snap benefits, but he also, I mean, accused the Democrats of lying. And to me, this is a not Democrat or Republican issue. This is a helping people issue. And that snap benefit issue is within the farm bill, if I'm not mistaken. Correct, Aaron?
That is correct. That's where it's at. And, you know, currently there's 160 plus Republicans that are trying to separate the SNAP title or the nutrition title from the farm bill and trying to make it a farm specific and a nutrition specific bills, which is not good because food and agriculture are all in one. And so let's keep them together.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Well, we've all witnessed that beef prices have been escalated at the grocery store, but have consumers changed their buying patterns? That's an important question that Wisconsin cattle producers need to think about. It also may give us a little insight into how consumers are prioritizing an even tighter pocketbook. Stick around. I am chatting with one of the folks at Kansas State University that takes a monthly look at just how much protein the average consumer is buying. This is kind of a critical question because if you think about the Ozempics, the weight loss medications that a lot of the population is involved with these days, that requires a high protein diet. So where are they spending their money? We're going to get to that question as we roll our way through a Wednesday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke. So glad you're along with us on this, the 18th day of June. Let's see, on this day, in 1815, Napoleon suffers the defeat at Waterloo. ABBA made everybody kind of remember that one, didn't they? That was on this day back in 1815. On this day in 1948, the LP record is introduced. Sometimes I feel like when I do these, I'm really dating myself. Anybody know what LP stands for? Yes, long playing. It was a 33 and a third RPM microgroove vinyl record that was developed by Columbia Records, came out on this day in 1948. A couple of happy birthdays for you this morning. Happy birthday to country music artist and judge Blake Shelton. He is 49. And Sir Paul McCartney turns 83 today. And now you know. It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's STEFFES group.com. Fantastic website that will keep you connected with sale items that you're looking for, as well as the latest updates on what's coming your way. You think you want to investigate what working with the Steffes Group is like? Well, call them then by all means. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hune from the Steffes Group joining us on a Wednesday to talk a little bit. You know, I thought maybe today, Ashley, it'd be nice to remind people that this auction business is far more complicated than just the website pictures, than just keeping up to date on the latest catalog. You're involved in a lot of high-level management meetings, not just within Steffes Group to keep everybody on the same page, but lenders, attorneys, bankers. I mean, just so many different folks that want your ear.
Yeah, matter of fact, right now one of the sales guys is in St. Paul for a two-day trust and probate conference. A lot of lawyers and stuff, when they're handed estates or working with families, of course, they need appraisals, and guess who does a lot of machinery appraisals out here at Steffes? So we're constantly working for families in a lot of different ways. It's not just auctions all the time. It's through just about any kind of transition.
Well, and making sure that if things are changing on a bigger scale, your team is kept knowledgeable about what's changing. You act as counsel to a lot of the farm families that may only go through this once.
Yeah, and we know and understand that. So it's not just sign here, press hard. It's this is what's going to happen. We want to let everybody know what's going to happen before it happens. For instance, so we just had a live sale last week, went very well, had a real nice crowd, over 100 bidders in the crowd, but guess what? The online bidders were 400, so way outnumbered the people that were there. But, you know, one thing we do that I don't think other auction companies do is they might have some numbers ahead of the auction, but that morning, us sales guys, we sit down and say, okay, this is the market today. Where are we today? And we give the family a total number before we even start selling. We try and be as close as we can, but a little conservative, and things went very well, and we surpassed our number, and guess what? Everybody's happy at the end of the day.
Yeah, like I said, I've watched you guys work with families. You are just good counsel, because if you only go through this once in your lifetime, your idea of value, your idea of where prices should be might be a little skewed. And because you guys work in so many different arenas, from the farm, families, buyers, dealers, and then, like we said, lenders as well as investors, you can give them all that on a silver plate.
Yeah, truly, because a lot of farms we go to, they'll have some specialty items that not is conducive to their area. For instance, the place we were in, he had a 20-inch planter or 22-inch planter, not very sought after in his area, but we work in a lot of different areas that's commonplace. So, you know, we structure the advertising for that. We tell them, well, this thing's going to go away far away. It's not going to stick around here. And it played out just like that.
Well, and because of that website, and now the fact that Steffes is not only in the United States, but also Canada, no matter what the size, no matter what the color, even no matter really what the horsepower, that you're going to be able to fan that out across quite a bit of globe and let people take a look.
Yeah, truly. And it's interesting to see, you know, we've had Canadians buying from us before, and we kind of know what they're doing up there. But now that we have a presence there, not only are we bringing now more bidders to bid off of your local farm auction, but we're sending bidders to Canada as well.
Sure, sure. Yeah, like I said, folks, if you haven't taken a look lately, please do. Steffesgroup.com. That's STEFFES group.com. One of the first things you'll notice is how they have auctions both in Canada and the United States. It keeps things lively, that is for sure. Ashley Hewn along with us. And remember, if you've got questions, Ashley or any of the team at Steffes, happy to visit with you. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn with the Steffes Group.
What's that you say? You didn't hear what the guest said, or you missed part of the conversation? No problem. Pop on over to our website, MidwestFarmReport.com, and glance through our podcast playlist. You'll see the entire conversation or the completed show all in that list. Plus, you might stumble across something that you missed. Score! That podcast playlist is also a great way to pass the time in the truck cab or the tractor seat. That's MidwestFarmReport.com.
Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
They believe in protecting the families and children in our farming communities. Kids love to be included in the daily farm activities, but accidents can happen quickly. Reduce the chance of injury by making sure your farm is a safe environment for adults and kids. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Beautiful day yesterday in Waupaca County as we were introduced to the Clinton family that will be hosting Wisconsin Farm Technology Days August 5th through the 7th. They are no strangers to this event. In fact, this will be the third time that Clinton Farms has hosted the state's largest outdoor agriculture event, which will stay focused on dairy operations from this point forward. That's the word from Janet Keller. She's the general manager of Wisconsin Farm Technology Days.
Absolutely. And we don't always want to just focus on large operations, because certainly our industry has changed drastically. I'm old enough, Pam, you know me. I've been around the block, and I'm old enough to remember that it takes all types of dairies. There are a lot of smaller acreage operations, smaller animal unit operations, and we want to make sure we have something for all of them to see and witness and perhaps adapt back home.
All right, Janet Keller, General Manager, Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, the big show August 5th through the 7th, Waupaca County, Bear Creek, the location for Clinton Farms. Yesterday, as far as barrel cheese was concerned, it dropped 2 cents at 177. 40-pound block cheese down 2.5 on Tuesday at 175.5. Double A butter down a penny and a half, 257.75. Now, so far this morning, we've got December new crop corn up 2 at 441. November new crop beans up a penny at 1068. The July new crop wheat a nickel stronger, 553. July class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 3 right now, 1799 a hundredweight.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. May 12th, the U.S. Department of Justice reportedly requested all the state of Colorado's records relating to the 2024 federal election and the preservation of records related to the 2020 election. The request may relate to President Trump's effort to free a convicted Colorado election official. The records request is massive. In November 2024, there were 4.65 million registered Colorado voters, 3.3 million of whom cast ballots in the presidential election. Then, consider the records from every electronic ballot tabulator, voter registration and verification documents for each voter, and more. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold told NPR, "What they're going to do with all this data, I don't know, but I'm sure they'll use it to push their ridiculous disinformation and lies to the American public," she said. There is speculation that it may be related to convicted Mesa County elections official Tina Peters, sentenced to 9 years for giving voting machine access to conspiracy theorists tied to MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. The week before the Colorado records request, DOJ was directed by President Trump to, quote, take all necessary action to help secure the release of Peters. To date, Colorado has reportedly provided two copies of its master voter list to DOJ and its 2024 voter history file. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday, our weekly visits with civic media friends Earl Ingram in Milwaukee, Todd Alba in Madison, Melissa Kay in Wisconsin Rapids, and James Kelly in Chippewa Falls.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Alba Show.
I'm happy to have along with us today a gentleman that is very well-versed in what's happening with consumer buying patterns when it comes to beef or really proteins in general. His name, Dr. Glenn Tonsor. He is a professor in the Department of Agriculture Economics, Kansas State University. And the research work that he does is funded in part by beef checkoff dollars. Glenn, thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about how long you have been doing the monthly meat demand monitor.
Sure. Happy to do that, Pam. Thanks for having me on. The Meat Demand Monitor, or MDM is the acronym that sometimes it's recognized by, has been launched. We collect data since February of 2020. So it's a project based at Kansas State University, where I'm based, as you said. It's jointly funded by both actually the beef and the pork checkoff, because it's a very broad look at all things meat. It's not just one species. It is beef and pork centric. Every month, we survey over 3,000 U.S. residents. And as I said, since February 2020, we've been doing that. You can find everything we're going to talk about today on that project on our agmanager.info website. The raw data, all the reports, all the background analyses and the like. Not everybody wants all those details, but it is fully and freely available there, Pam.
Yeah, and it is an excellent resource. I took a look at it myself. And I guess, obviously, the first question you've got to ask, Glenn, we're into the grilling season. What kinds of patterns have you noticed through April, May? What are consumers telling us at the checkout?
Yeah, I would summarize us as having two pretty strong and conflicting trends, Pam. And I'll start with the first, which is a little bit the bearish, or you know, the downside from an economist, is the broader macroeconomic environment is currently a headwind. So primarily trade uncertainty, so international trade uncertainty, and what that means for future unemployment and inflation. Those concerns are growing among U.S. households. And I'll give you some numbers in a minute narrowly, but that itself is pushing back on some of the domestic meat demand strength. So that's one trend that we'll give you some numbers on in a minute. The second one, which is much more supportive and been going on for a couple of years now, is I'll just call it the meat protein is in, right? So this broad desire to have meat protein in your diet. More and more people are telling us they self-declare as a meat consumer. The rate of vegan vegetarianism is actually declining per the MDM. So to put a bow on that is those are trends that are going, you know, they're conflicting. So far, we are seeing retail demand strength hold up. So grocery store for at home, which is consistent with the grilling, as you said, but we're seeing notable weakness in food service. So away from home consumption. And that fits the macroeconomic concern we're talking about here.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing that Monthly Meat Demand Monitor does, take a specific look at what people are buying in that search for proteins. That's really where you drill down on the economics of a pocketbook and where they want to stretch their dollar.
Yeah, 100%. So one of the very first things in this deep survey is what we call a prior day recall. So I asked folks about yesterday's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So did you have that meal or did you skip it? Was it at home? Was it away from home? Did it have beef? Did it have pork? Did it have chicken? And for example, if you told me you had beef for dinner at home, there's a follow-up and I could tell you if they had steak or ground beef or something else. So it is a very deep dive. So we do track that. And it's important your listeners know the prevalence of keeping beef in the diet is pretty robust, but I think people are changing how and where they do it. So it's occurring more at home, for my earlier comment, you know, food service challenges are there. And there's some shifting about what that is. So maybe some shifting from a ribeye steak to ground beef, and even within the ground beef space, maybe a shift from highly lean to less lean.
If you're just joining us, welcome to Checkoff Chat. It is a monthly program hosted by the Wisconsin Beef Council, and your beef checkoff dollars, remember, dairy, that involves you in a robust way these days, and also underwritten by our friends from Equity Livestock Cooperative. They've been serving the livestock community since 1922. Find them at equitycoop.com. Joining us today, Dr. Glenn Tonsor. He is at Kansas State University, and we're talking about the monthly meat demand monitor. As he said, if you want to take a deeper dive on some of the conversation, go to agmanager.info. That's agmanager.info. What else are you noticing trend-wise, Glenn, that might be, as you said, foretelling of what's coming up maybe third quarter, fourth quarter of this year? We know that when it comes to grilling, people are still preferring beef on the grill. What other things are you noting as far as consumer buying patterns?
Yeah, so the importance of taste. And I would argue a little bit of a decline in the importance of environmental impact, origin traceability, and some affiliated claims would be something I'd impress on your listeners. So in the meat demand monitor, we have something we call protein values. So there's a list of 12 things, such as the ones I just gave you, as well as safety, price, nutrition. You know, it's a litany of 12 items. And we ask all 3,000 people every month, what are the four most important from this list of 12 when you're making a decision to buy or not buy meat protein? And what are the four least? So it's a relative tracking of importance on your purchasing decision. And we regularly see, Pam, that taste and freshness are the leading determinants of whether you put meat in the cart or not. And that's only grown in recent years. We've seen the importance of price grow some here during 2025. And that fits my macroeconomic concern comment earlier. And we've seen some decline in these, you know, the interest of the I'd better say, how many people prioritize an environmental impact claim or an origin traceability claim. Those exist, but they're less than 15% of the U.S. public, where conversely, we have north of, you know, the majority prioritize something like taste. So what is driving the decision is sometimes not sexy to talk about, but pretty important to track. And we do that in a very detailed way in the Meat Demand Monitor.
Yeah, well, and obviously education is part of this component. Remember that Glenn's work is funded in part by the Beef Checkoff. And I noticed that there's some interesting insights into how much consumers are reading labels, understanding where things come from. I mean, that there is a kind of an educational component to your monitor.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, Pam, I have a research and extension appointment at K-State. So, you know, kind of clinical, my day job, even outside of the MDM, is to hopefully educate both the inner industry, which is mainly who we're talking to today, as well as the general public. There's value in both of that. But the measures that you're talking about in the MDM are awareness of USDA inspection, awareness of using temperature rather than color to tell if a meat product's done, how accurate you are in knowing that choice is actually superior to select in the grading system. Some of our listeners here might think those are very basic and we could take them for granted, but I would remind us that, you know, the average resident in our country has a lot on their mind and probably doesn't have the depth of knowledge on those topics that those of us that grew up in production ag and live in it have. So we're regularly monitoring that. There's wide awareness of the role of the USDA inspection. So that's part of the safety reassurance that I think the public has. That's great. There's some growing awareness on the role of temperature rather than color. That's good. But I will interject, there's room for improvement on understanding the quality grade system from the consumer perspective. And that's a little beyond today's purpose, but we do monitor that in the meat and man monitoring. Thanks for having me on, Pam.
Again, like we said, Dr. Glenn Tonsor, professor, Department of Agricultural Economics at Kansas State University in Manhattan, Kansas. And if you're looking for more information, a deeper dive on the meat demand monitor, agmanager.info, agmanager.info. This edition of Checkoff Chat brought to you courtesy of our friends at the Wisconsin Beef Council, as well as underwritten by Equity Livestock Cooperative. Find the latest market details and locations near you, equitycoop.com. Along with Dr. Glenn Tonsor, I'm Pam Yonke.
This The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Monitoring farmland conversion for solar power. Today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community, and while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. Arkansas residents can rest assured that their state is not becoming a giant solar farm. In fact, says Mike Pop, only a tiny fraction of Arkansas farmland has been converted to solar so far.
When people see ag land going out of production, they're naturally sort of worried about whether this is going to have an impact on the economy of Arkansas.
Pop is a farm management professor at the University of Arkansas System Division of Agriculture.
I've played with renewable fuels and renewable energy projects from biomass to soybean oil to biodiesel for a few decades now, and this one's looking pretty exciting to me. Our demand for electricity is probably not going to go down, so we need to find ways to generate it that is a good use of our resources.
As that demand for power rises, says Pop, the idea of a homegrown source has some appeal.
If we want to have a renewable standard in the state of Arkansas and we produce it locally rather than buying it, say, from Arizona or whatever, there are efficiencies in building local. And there's a reason why we have these large-scale solar fields going in into ag land.
Pop hinted that future research may reveal the viability of using Arkansas's many irrigation reservoirs for floating solar installations. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio.
The Trump administration's order to keep a Michigan coal plant running could mean higher energy bills in Wisconsin. Just days before the aging plant was set to retire, the Department of Energy ordered it to stay open, citing emergency wartime powers. Staff were already gone and there was no coal on site. The utility that owns the plant wants to recoup the tens of millions of dollars it cost to bring it back online through price increases on customers throughout the Midwest grid, including Wisconsin. Summer nights in Wisconsin are heating up, literally, according to Wisconsin's Initiative on Climate Change Impacts. Our state is about 3 degrees warmer in the summertime than it was in the 1950s, and we're feeling that heat mostly at night, with temperatures staying above 70 more and more often. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Iran's UN ambassador says today he has conveyed to Washington it will respond firmly to the United States if it becomes directly involved in Israel's military campaign. Trump advisors appear split on that. ABC's Perry Russum.
U.S. and Israeli intelligence appear to differ on their assessment of Iran's capabilities. Israel claims Tehran is closer to a nuclear weapon, while U.S. assessments say Iran is several months to 1 year away from a deliverable bomb.
A nighttime attack by Russia on Ukraine has killed 15, most in Kyiv, which saw its deadliest attack yet. Gazans lining up for flour encountered bullets by Israel. The Gaza Health Ministry reporting 51 killed, Israel acknowledging several casualties and saying it will investigate.